Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. It is October 8th. I can't believe it is October already. I know that last week on Friday, it was October, but now it's really sinking in what time of year it is, what's going on, and super glad to be here. It also feels like it's been a while since I was on my vacation. A lot has been going on, and I'm super excited if you're here. If you're tuning in live, thank you for being here. It's possible you're watching this on Facebook. You could be watching this on LinkedIn, where I do a lot of my broadcasts, also on my YouTube channel. Wherever you're at, feel free to put a comment, say hello, put something in the message, and that will pop up. Either I'll see it now, I might see it later. Any questions you have regarding sales, anything that comes up while we go through this, please put in there. Also, I am doing this primarily through Zoom as a webinar. So if you want to get registered for this, if you're watching on one of the other channels on a rebroadcast and you want to be a part of the actual conversation and chat with me directly, then please go to jasoncutter.com. There's a link at the top where then you can get registered, or you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And then I can get you the information so that you can register and be a part of this and be in it. And that way you are involved and, get all of the alerts and all the things that are going on. One of the big things that happened this week that's very exciting, and I want to share this because it fits into the mission, which I always start out these episodes with, and explaining my mission, which I guess maybe I should start with that, which is my focus is to help facilitate transformation in three ways, or through three things, which is to encourage and enable light bulb moments in people, to help the underdog win their game, and then also to leave people better than I found them. Those I consider my day and my time a success when I do one or any of those throughout my day. Yesterday, I had a great opportunity for the second time ever, and it gives me so much hope, and I'm super excited, and this is why it fits in with mission. I was given the opportunity for the second time this year to be a guest lecturer at Oregon State University's professional sales class taught by the amazing Caitlin Gill. And it's a group of students enrolled in Oregon State University where they're there. Some are marketing majors, some are MBA majors, some are actually in a sales major type program. And they're there to learn about how to sell and be a professional and be effective. And it's amazing. When I was going to college, every other business unit had degrees available other than sales, right? Sales is not something people get degrees in. It's just something they do. So marketing has a degree, accounting, all these other things, except for sales. And it's amazing to see it. And I love being able to be there and share what I've learned through the ups and downs and everything that I've seen and the challenges that I've had, and then what I've seen other people go through, people who have entered into sales who are successful, people who entered and then left. So it was great to do that. If you have any opportunities to support any programs like that, I recommend it. And it was just good. They asked a lot of great questions. They really wanted to learn. And I think if we can help impact the future salespeople, the people are going to go out there, and if we can get more and more people, which is why I do this show, this program, and everything I do, get people to treat it like a profession and treat it like something where they have a duty and responsibility to follow some kind of oath and code of ethics, then we can change the way the world sees salespeople. Because right now, let's be honest, most people see sales as a dirty word. Most people would never want to go into sales because they think what it takes to be successful, which is gross and slimy, which is not the case. It doesn't have to be that way. It's just what people do. And then also they don't like what happens to them when they interact with a salesperson. So that's why I do this. That's why I want to change it. That's why my goal is to encourage and enable over 1 million authentic persuaders in the world, because then that will have a ripple effect where we change the way people view salespeople and how salespeople view themselves and what they think their role is. So that was something very cool yesterday. I got to do those two sessions. Fits perfectly into what I want to do. And for everyone tuning in, again, whether you're on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, you're directly in the Zoom webinar. This is for you. And I want to give you whatever I can to help you in your sales journey or people that you know. I know there's people that tune into this. They're in sales, but they're also affecting their clients who have sales organizations. And so maybe these are things that you can take to them. And fundamentally keep in mind, and I said this before on my previous podcast on when it was the Sales Experience podcast, everything in life is sales. So whether you see yourself as a salesperson and you have a role that's in sales, or you're anything else, you could be a customer service manager, you could be a parent, you could be a teacher, everything is sales. Everything is persuasion and getting somebody to take an action that they probably should be doing for their own benefit, not just for yours, that's manipulation, but for their benefit, that takes some persuasion and that takes some sales skills. So there's always good things that you can work on. All right, so let's recap. Last week, what I talked about was the first part in the authentic persuasion pathway. And if you're taking notes, refer back to those notes, or if you're starting here, make sure to check that out. So that was episode 7, week 7. It is available on the podcast. Just so you know, on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast, all of these trainings go live on Monday. So we're doing these on Fridays. Those go on Mondays. But episode 7, I talked about the authentic persuasion pathway. And why that's so important is it addresses the fact that your potential customers, your clients, the people you're dealing with, again, in any walk of life and whatever you're doing, they have a comfort zone. They are in that comfort zone and they are worried and afraid of making a change. And the reason why I know that, and I can say that with 100% certainty, is that if they were okay with change, they would just change. The fact that you're having to deal with them, or they want to deal with you, and they want to take the risk of dealing with a salesperson and what a salesperson could potentially do to them. Again, this is in the classic old snake oil salesman used car mode that people are afraid of. The fact that they're wanting help or talking to you means they are stuck. They know there is something better they could be doing, or get out of pain, or achieve a goal, or do something more or different with their life, but they're currently stuck in their comfort zone. And because of that, that's why they're talking to you. If they weren't stuck, they would have already decided. It would be super easy. They would talk to you and want to buy right away. They would have ordered online. They wouldn't have needed any help. But if they're dealing with you, they need some help. That's your job. That is your duty. And fundamentally, your duty is to help them feel safe. And I've used this acronym in the past, just a reminder: SAFE, you can use it to stand for successful at fear elimination. That is your goal. They're stuck in their comfort zone. And if anyone wants to see the diagram for this, I have built out a contextual model of what this looks like and the whole pathway. Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I will give you the diagram for that and you can see what the process looks like and the steps to get them out of it. Last week, we talked about step one, which is building rapport. And why that's important. What we also did, and make sure to check out that episode because I don't want to take up all our time today in the recaps, like sometimes I'll do is a very long recap. But it's important to understand that there is a focus for a rapport. There's a purpose for the rapport. There's also ways to do rapport wrong, which you might think, how do I build rapport in the wrong way? Well, we've all experienced people where they're building rapport, but it's cheesy and fake and phony, slimy. And the word, if you've been tuning into me at all this year, then you hear me say it all the time, which is gross. And so it feels like that. You can tell when somebody is trying to be buddy-buddy and build rapport, but it's just gross. And so we don't want that, right? That's not what we want as authentic persuaders. We want it to be authentic, thus that term. And so the key is to understand that. The key is also to understand is if that you tend to be more like an order taker. So you tend to want to build rapport and follow Bob Berg's advice, which is good, but only half of the formula, which is to get people to know, like, and trust you. The thing is that you want to focus on that, but you've got to make sure not to get too stuck. I see a lot of people get stuck in building rapport, having someone like them, and they don't know how to move forward. They don't know how to get from one section to the next and do that movement, that transition into the next part, which we're going to talk about today. And again, if you want help with that, and when we talk about scripting, email me, because those transitions are the key to success. It's not about scripting all of the conversation, although you could, but you're dealing with another human. So it's going to be messy and unpredictable. And trying to script all of it is just impossible. The one things you do want to script, though, is the transition so that you can move from one to a next. Now, before we dive into today's topic, also want to remind you, one of the biggest things for rapport and the topic we're going to cover today, it's about the right ratio of talking. Now, a lot of people in sales default to thinking they should be doing all the talking, that it's all about them. And what happens is that when you are doing all the talking as a salesperson, then you're not listening. The other person is hearing you talk all the time, but they're not getting to talk. And here's the interesting thing is that if somebody is not getting to talk or share, then it's tough for them to feel like other people care about them, which again is what we're going to talk about today a lot. But you want to watch that ratio. The best thing, and this is what my grandma used to say, and it's a great reminder, 2 ears, 1 mouth. When all else fails, if you're like, I can't remember how much Jason said I should be talking or listening, 2 ears, 1 mouth, listening twice as much as you're talking in general. And again, I started this episode and talking about the fact that everything in life is sales. No matter what you do for work, no matter who you're engaged with in a conversation, trying to persuade, trying to get, you know, you want to go to see this certain movie or eat dinner, or you're trying to get your kids to do this, or you're trying to get your boss to agree with your idea, whatever that is, remember you're dealing with another person. And remember this ratio is 2 ears, 1 mouth, listening twice as much as you talk. If you use that work, personal life, all over the place, it will have an amazing impact. And unfortunately, it's not what most people do. Most people are acting like they've got 5 mouths and no ears, and they're just talking all the time and not actually listening. And when it looks like they're listening, they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can jump in and talk more about what it is they want to talk more about. So that was a big thing. Now, where we're going next and why this is an important segue into this is that phase 2 of the authentic persuasion pathway is empathy. All right. So we had rapport, and now we have empathy. Now, why do I use the word empathy? And why do I call it that? Because here's what this step fundamentally is. Here's the, let's call it the action step. This is what you're doing in the second phase of the authentic persuasion pathway, is this is discovery. So this is where you're asking questions. You're going through your process of fact finding. You're doing your probing. You're doing your detective work. You're doing your analyzing. You're trying to get to the heart of the matter and get the information you need. Now, here are some things with where this can be a challenge and where people don't necessarily do it effectively. It's not that it's right or wrong, right? There is no right or wrong, good or bad. It's really a function of, is it effective? Are you getting the results, especially in your sales career, in your sales conversations? Are you getting the results that you want? Are you being as effective as you could be? Yes or no? If not, then maybe there's some things you need to look at. That's why in the first couple of weeks, I talked about the traits of being a successful sales professional and making yourself into that. And the first one is being open. That's why that's number one, not persistence, not creativity, not hustle, not grit. Number one is open. If you're not open, None of that stuff. You can have all the grit in the world you want, but it doesn't matter if you're not open and you're not trying to learn and you're not wanting to improve, then you're just a bull in a china shop and it's going to be terrible for everybody. So the thing is that it's all about asking questions. Here's what happens though. Here's what I see a lot of times is that somebody in sales, they fall in love with what they're selling, which is good, right? One of the biggest things, and this came up yesterday in the conversation I had, one of the questions that was brought up with the students in that class, it was talking about selling something you believe in, right? And which was great. I love when that comes up, especially younger people, new people in sales that want to get into sales. What about picking something or selling something you believe in? I want people to fall in love with what they sell. I want people to be passionate and excited about what they sell. Nothing is worse for you or your potential customers when you're selling something you don't believe in or don't care about and generally just doing it for the money. And that also doesn't feel good, right? People can tell, you can tell it doesn't work. And I promise it won't lead to long-term success. Like I've never seen somebody who doesn't care about what they sell or dislikes what they sell or thinks that it's dumb. I've never seen them be effective long-term. It just doesn't work. You can't fake it. When you're trying to sell something. So you want to be in love with what you sell. That is so important. It is vital. And what I also see is that most companies think that what they sell, what they provide, their product or their service is amazing. It is the best thing ever. Cliche. It's the best thing since sliced bread. It's what everyone wants. They're in love with it as well. Like the founder, the creator, the CEO, whoever's running that thinks we are the best. This is the best thing ever. Everybody should want this. When that scenario happens and you have the intersection of a company that thinks they have the best thing for everybody, and then you have a salesperson who's in love with that, went through training, came on board, drank the Kool-Aid. They feel like what they're selling is the best thing, which some amount of that is important. But when you combine those together, what I find a lot is that when somebody is then having conversations and selling to people, what they do is they're just assuming everyone wants it. Why does that matter? And why is that important right now when I'm talking about this empathy step, which is the discovery step, is because when that happens, then people don't feel like you care about them. Because what happens is you're just lecturing, you're explaining how great everything is, you're telling them, you're giving a monologue and a sermon about how amazing you, your product, your brand, your logos, your testimonials, your social proof, like how great you are, and not spending enough time asking questions and ensuring that the other person feels like you actually care about them. And this happens a lot. It happens if you're not sure if this applies to you, think about an example, right? I know I see this all the time when I go to trade shows and conferences, when I'm walking around, walk up to a trade show booth, right? And I can picture so many times when this happened, especially in technology related conferences, walk up to a booth and they just start talking. They just start going through their pitch that they do over and over again. 3 minutes, 5 minutes in, can't seem to stop them. They're on a roll. They're explaining everything. And then like, well, what do you think? Or what do you do? And it's like, no, this doesn't apply. Like that's not a good fit. They made it all about them because they just want to talk about them. And they think that's what sales is. Sales is me telling you what I do. And then you being so in love with it, like I am, that you're just going to want to sign up. But that's not what it takes. And the reason why, and I'll talk a lot about the buyers and why buyers are different as we go through this, but people don't need that knowledge and information anymore. What they need is somebody to guide them. They need help. They need someone to take them up the mountain as a guide, not as somebody who thinks they know everything, because that's not what people want. So this step is super important. And again, what I see is a lot of people in sales, when it gets to the question asking phase, there's two camps that I see a lot of, and this is what we want to fix. One camp is the one that thinks they know everything. They're in love with their product or service. They've seen it all. They've had so many conversations. They've heard every answer. They've seen every scenario, at least in their mind. And they think, all right, I don't really need to ask that many questions because I just know I just got it. I've had enough of these conversations. Oh, you run this kind of a business? Oh, or you have this kind of situation if they're dealing with consumers? Oh, I got it. Like, I've seen it before, right? If you've seen one, you've seen them all. That's the mentality of a lot of people in sales, especially if they've done it for any length of time. And it's not what we're going to talk about in this episode, but definitely it's one of the challenges and one of the reasons that slumps happen. If you're in sales and you're dealing with a slump, or you manage a team and your team or any part of your team is in a slump, which happens all the time, email me, because I've got some information on that and some ways to help you. Happy to send that over, because that's one of the things that leads to a slump is when salespeople think they know it all. Again, they've seen one, they've seen it all. I don't need to ask questions. I don't really care what happens. And I don't care about you because I know what the solution is because I have the solution. When we get into this question asking phase, the problem is that they don't ask questions. They don't need to know anything. All right, what about this? What about that? Okay, I got it. Now let me tell you how amazing we are. Let me get back to talking about myself. The other camp that I see, which is more on the order taker side. And again, order taker just being a condition. It's not a permanent label. It's not a disparaging remark and a scarlet letter on anybody in sales. Usually what happens is the order taker is somebody who cares a lot about other people, doesn't want to be that gross salesperson and do what they don't like done to themselves. And so they're consciously or subconsciously committed to not being that person in sales. And that's usually at the intersection of not enough training. Companies out there, no matter how many I see, most of them don't provide enough training, enough coaching, enough leadership. It is fortunately or unfortunately why I have the business I have and why I work with the companies I do and the things that I do, because they're not providing enough and they hire me and then I help them so that they can get on the right track. So the order takers, when it comes to the question phase, is they're given a sheet of questions. They know what they should be asking. Somebody gave them a list or they made up some questions on their side that they should ask. They don't really know why they're asking them. They don't know what they're looking for. They just know that they're supposed to ask questions. And they go through that process. And when somebody answers, they don't know about digging deeper, or they're afraid that if they ask too many questions, it will feel like an interrogation, right? Like it will feel like there's a spotlight and somebody's being accused of a crime, or it's like sitting across from a teenager at the dinner table trying to get them to tell you about their day or a new relationship or their life, and then it doesn't go well. So a lot of people who are more on the order taking spectrum when it comes to questions, they're afraid of asking questions. They're afraid of digging deep because they don't want to upset anybody and cause confrontation or have somebody say, I don't want to answer questions. I'm not going to answer that. Why are you asking so many questions? Just tell me what you sell. Right? That is such a negative reaction for people who are struggling to be successful in sales and haven't been trained on how to ask questions and haven't been trained on how to deal with that situation when it does occur and what to say and how to move past it, that they just avoid it altogether. So their question process is usually light, surface, not very deep. They don't know what to do. If you are a manager or a leader and you're listening to me right now and you're thinking, hey, I have that. Like if you've probably, because I've seen this myself many times with teams that I've led or ones that I've been brought into where leadership is frustrated by the fact that their salespeople aren't asking questions deep enough, aren't asking enough, aren't going down the right paths that somebody could go down to get more information. And they're definitely not doing it as well as that leader would do or used to do when they were on the phone. It's most likely this kind of scenario because they just don't know. They need some more training and they need help because they don't understand the point of the questions and they're afraid of that worst case outcome. So there's definitely things to work on there. It is something you can change. I've seen it before. I've seen many salespeople go from being afraid to asking questions to just being a probing rock star in what they're doing. So the key is we want to be asking questions. We want to be doing it a lot. And I'll get to the empathy step here and the reason why I use that word here in a minute. But we want to be asking questions. And like I said, the key is we have rapport that we talked about last week, which was the first step in the authentic persuasion pathway. Then we have empathy, which is the discovery probing question asking phase, which is in this second step. Notice we haven't talked about our company yet. That's going to come in the next one. And here's a spoiler. The third step is the trust phase. And that's where we talk about the company. And then we have the hope phase. And then we have the urgency phase, which is the one that really throws people off. And that's where most people are unsuccessful at sales because of that urgency step. What we are looking for, what your goal is, what your mission is in this phase, probing, discovery, question asking, empathy step, is you need to get to the deepest level and reason why that person wants or needs what you're selling. That's it. That's it right there. That's the nugget we want, is why does this person want or need what I'm selling? And again, this applies to you're selling consumers, you're helping them get financing, you're helping them get out of debt, you're helping them open a new checking account. Like I had the experience this morning where I wanted to open up a new bank account. It applies to selling to a company. If you're selling them a SaaS platform, enterprise level, could be a one phone call, could be 18 months sales cycle. It doesn't matter. Your one goal is to find out what that person wants and needs and why at the deepest level. Because no matter what you're selling, the one fundamental consistent thing, and this is where a lot of people, when I talk to them and they're thinking about hiring me, they're like, what do you know about this vertical? And what do you know about this sales process? And what do you know about really long sales processes? It's sales. It's fundamentally the same. These principles apply. This authentic persuasion pathway applies to all of it. And here's the one thing I know, and this is why it's always the same at a base level, is you're dealing with another human. You're dealing with another person. Whether you're selling to a company or you're selling to an individual, it's a human at that company. It's a human who has their own issues, their own fears, their concerns, their goals, their hopes, their worries. It's even compounded because they have their own personal worries, their personal fears. And then they have the fear of making a mistake at work and buying the wrong thing or suggesting the wrong thing, jeopardizing their job, which could then jeopardize their finances, their relationship, and so on, right? We talked about that in the fear setting part, when we talked about understanding your why, what you're afraid of, what your goals are, and what is holding you back. Remember, that's true for everyone, right? In their mind, they're thinking worst case scenario, and they're going down this path. Here's why this matters. Here's why this is so important right now in this step, in the step I'm calling empathy, because you need to know why somebody needs or wants what it is that you're selling. A lot of people in sales don't know that. They don't go for that. They ask their questions. Again, it's either the seasoned professional, and this is giant air quotes. If you're listening to the podcast on the replay, I am making giant air quotes. The sales professional who's seen it all and knows it all, and they don't really care why you need it or want it, because they just assume that you want it or need it. Then you have the other end, the order takers, who are doing light, surfacey questions, not probing deep. They're not going for the actual why. They're asking some basic questions, getting what they need, checking some boxes in the process. In the event that the deal doesn't go through, or their boss asks them, hey, did you ask them about the deal? Yes, I asked the questions. I went through all these. Look, I even made notes and I have them all listed here. But it's not getting to the heart of the matter and the fundamental thing that you need, which is why does that person want or need what it is that you're selling. And of course, this is where the qualification happens. There is always a chance, and it does come up. This is a question by those students yesterday as well, which is so great, is what about when somebody doesn't qualify or you shouldn't sell them? How do you deal with that? Which is great. I love that they were thinking that not everyone wins, right? Because if you're selling something where everyone wins, I'm not your guy. I'm not the one to help you. This process isn't for you. This process is for people who, there's a determination. Do you have this issue or goal? Can I help you with that based on what I offer? Yes or no. If yes, go this way. If no, go this way. That's fine. You got to know. Now, here is one of the things, and I haven't gotten to the empathy reason yet, so stay tuned for that. I will get to that. It's not that I'm avoiding it. It's that we're building up to this. Here's the biggest thing, and here's one of the challenges that comes up, is people don't want to spend a lot of time in the question asking phase. A lot of people in sales think that their role their job as a salesperson is to pitch. Their job is to explain. Their job is to give a demo. Their job is to essentially give facts and figures, features, benefits, reading from the brochure. They think that's their job, right? Like looking at that trade show example, and many people have gone to trade shows, whether it's been a professional industry thing or even as an individual. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go to RV shows and home and garden shows, and it's the same thing. People in sales think their job is just to pitch and explain. And again, the hope is if I just tell enough people what I do, what our company provides, and I push people forward, or I do my best and give some effort, then that's sales, right? And then I will win. A lot of people in sales, kind of like some people I've seen in my life in the past, view it with dating, is it's a numbers game, right? Like if I talk to 100 people in sales and I just pitch my product, I will close some deals. But you're hoping for that person where there's an alignment, they're okay with that. They don't necessarily need many of these other things that we're talking about in the authentic persuasion pathway. And then you're just hoping for those numbers. Now, can you be successful at that? I think so. Short term, I've seen people do it. It's a hard way to go. If you've got to talk to 100 people and pitch 100 people and to close one or two or three, that's difficult. That's draining. And when we talk about mental health and physical health and wellness, that is a tough game to play. That is a tough one. To get up to bat 100 times and only hit two or three times, four times, that's a tough one. You can't sustain that, right? Everyone has their slumps, but that's a tough one to sustain. But you see that too. And I know some guys that are like, well, if I just ask out enough people, then, you know, someone's going to say yes. Yes. And maybe that pure numbers game's going to work, but that's not the most effective thing, right? Because again, we're talking about sales. It's relationships. Everything is relationships. Everything is sales. Everything is dealing with somebody else. So that volume doesn't work when people just get into that mode. And people in sales, unfortunately, think that's what sales is. Sales is just pitching. Sales is vomiting all my information on somebody else and hoping something works and sticks. And then they want to move forward. Or I'll use some tactics and some tricks and some slick lines that I heard. And then I will convince, motivate, manipulate, bribe, whatever it is, right? Hey, if you sign up by Friday before the end of the quarter, then we'll give you this discount, right? Like that's manipulation. You're manipulating them to make a decision now based on some exchange, right? Now, companies and salespeople don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Not saying not to do that, but that's what they do. Fundamentally, we don't want to do that. And here's the thing that comes up. And this is what I get from a lot of people in sales or when I see it, is people are afraid of spending time in the question asking phase because they think the goal of sales is to sell, right? Is to tell, is to just explain and dominate the conversation. That's why starting last week, and I brought it up again, two ears, one mouth. Most people in sales, and we've all experienced that as a customer, again, five mouths, no ear. They're just like, how do I just steamroll over you and talk all the time and just convince you to buy? But that doesn't work. Not in this era, not in this day and age, not with what buyers want anymore. So what you want to do is you want to spend as much time in the question asking phase as possible. This is tough because it goes against what a lot of people think they should be doing in sales. Goes against what a lot of people think that they should be spending their time on in these conversations. And the best analogy and example I can give that a lot of people are familiar with is from another profession. And it's so important to look at what another profession, what actual professions do. And this is why I brought up early on is that sales is not a profession. There's people who treat it like a profession, and they put themselves in a situation where they hold themselves to an oath, a code of ethics, a higher level of standards. They show up every day. They act like a professional. They do what professionals do. They have a duty and obligation to others. but that's all internal. It's not regulated. It's not external. When we look at like the medical profession, to be a doctor, go to school for a long time, take some really hard tests, then have to be regulated, have to have insurance. There's a board, there's codes, there's ethics, there's the Hippocratic Oath. There's all these things you're committing to. And if you screw up any of those with any kind of malicious intent or negligence enough, then there's malpractice lawsuits and you're held accountable, potentially being kicked out of the profession if you mess it up bad enough, right? Like that is how a profession works. Sales, there's nothing, right? It's not regulated. It's everybody for themselves, which is why it potentially, well, not potentially, why it has the bad reputation that it does overall. Now, when we look at a doctor, so imagine you go into a doctor's visit, right? And I can think of many, many number of doctor appointments that I've had in my life. Luckily, I have avoided most serious issues, but even just for a general thing or something is wrong or there's some kind of pain, it's going into that doctor's visit. Most doctor appointment, maybe 10, 15 minutes by the time you actually see the doctor. I'm not talking about the nurse stuff and all the beginning things, but when that doctor walks into the room finally and you're seeing the doctor, what happens, right? Let's look at it and let's compare that. Think about the sales process as we talk about a doctor. And again, a doctor's not trying to sell you something, but they are trying to sell you something. So I will argue that they are a salesperson, just not in the view that we think of salespeople. And again, we think of salespeople in a gross way. So that's fair. Doctors are in a different category. So you go in, doctor shows up, finally, you're tired of sitting on that bench thing with the paper, and they show up. And what do? They ask you some questions, maybe break the ice a little bit, maybe not. Some doctors have no bedside manner, which is the result of no rapport, right? It seems all business. That's when you hear the doctor has a good bedside manner or a bad bedside manner. That's what we're talking about. Again, think about that in terms of sales. Then what happens is they start asking questions. They're talking about your issue, what brought you there, your pain. Then what do? They start listening in certain places. They start, you know, having you breathe, having you look here, checking your eyes, like whatever the issue is, right? And I've been in doctor's appointments where it's like, okay, walk across the room, walk back, walk on one leg, do this, do these balance things. Depending on what the issue is, they're having you go through a bunch of tests. What they're doing is the equivalent of this question asking probing section, what we're talking about in sales. So what happens is they're just having you run through a battery of tests. They're checking, they're probing, they're asking questions. They're trying to get to the heart of the matter, of the issue, and then what it is they can solve. And now let's assume they figure it out and they come up with a good diagnosis in that time frame. If we look at the conversation, which is important, is if it's a 15-minute doctor's appointment, how much of the time does the doctor tell you about how amazing they are, all of their degrees, their experience with other problems like yours, the patient they helped last week that was just like yours? How does that work? Now, typically what happens is if it's a 15-minute doctor's appointment, in my experience, being in enough doctor's appointments for myself or with other people, the first 14 minutes are probably spent in a little bit of rapport, breaking the ice, and then literally probing, testing, asking questions, poking, prodding, whatever it is, to get to that diagnosis. 14 out of 15 minutes are most likely used for that process. Then what happens in that last minute, because we've all been there, in that last minute of the doctor's appointment, they're like, okay, so based on what you said, here's what I think it is. Here's what I've done before. Here's the treatment. Maybe here's why I think I'm the best, right? If it's something serious. So if you have like a tumor or it's brain related or heart related, here's why I'm the best, or here's why I can help you. Some of that trust building will definitely need to come in if it's something that requires that trust. But literally in that last moment of the meeting, that last minute, they will say, here's what it is. Here's your diagnosis. Here's the prescription. Here's what we need to do. Here's what you need to do next. Do you have any questions? Go. What they don't do, and this is a great lesson for salespeople, if you want to be a professional and you want to get people to care and you want to help them like a professional, the key is to not spend the first 10 minutes of that 15 minutes talking about yourself. Imagine if your doctor came in and for the first 10, 12 minutes, they basically give you a seminar or lecture about how great they are, about how what they do works really well, about the solutions they provide, about the other people they've helped, their track record, the places they've worked, the speeches, the awards, the certificates, like all of that. Imagine if your doctor did that for the first 10, 12 minutes. And then they asked you some questions and then they immediately told you what you should do. A, that would probably be malpractice because it would be bad advice. And B, that would be a terrible, gross experience as a patient, right? I'm just guessing. And I think most people would agree, but that would be bad. Salespeople, that's what most are doing. And that's why it doesn't feel right, because what's happening if it was that way is you don't feel cared about. You don't feel heard. You don't feel it's about you. You feel like it's about them. And again, I'm not going to get into this episode. We'll get into the next few. But when doctors don't follow a process like this authentic persuasion pathway, which is interesting and funny and challenging because I'm talking about sales. I help call centers, but I am relating it to how a doctor is going through a process with patients and how it's literally the same framework, just a slightly different application, right? Slightly different. Somebody's in pain, might be life and death. You're selling somebody on getting out of debt or switching their energy company, but the process is the same because we're human. And if you're a professional, you're doing it in a different way. The key is, again, if that doctor were to do things in the way that salespeople do it, you would want second opinions. You would never go back to that doctor again. You would never trust them to care about you. You trust them to care about themselves, but you don't trust them to care about you. And that's what we're talking about here. And that's why I refer to the second step in the pathway as empathy. The reason why, and when it's done right, what you're doing in this process is you're asking questions. I've already talked about that a bunch. If you want more help on that with the questions, always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I can help you with some of the questions. Fundamentally remember what you're looking for. I mentioned it earlier. There's one piece of information that you need before you can move forward. The key is to ask the questions and then to shut up and to listen. And that might sound harsh, but the key is to actually listen. Again, most people in sales think their job is to talk a lot and talk somebody into buying, but that's not the case. Your job is to listen, figure out how you can help that person feel like you actually care about a solution that's best for them, and then provide that solution and then persuade them to get out of their comfort zone and get unstuck and make a change that is scary and worrying to them because it's the unknown. Your job is to make them feel safe, successful at fear elimination. In order to make them feel safe, they have to feel like you care about them. We've all been given advice by people in our life or not in our life where they tell us to do something or they're trying to persuade us to do something. And you can tell they literally don't care about you. And how well does that advice go or that suggestion or what that idea is they want to do? Generally doesn't go well or doesn't feel right or it's not something you really want to do. Even if you agree, you know it's not really something you want to do because you know they don't care about you. And that's what we're talking about. That's why it's the empathy step. And the reason why, going back to what I talked about last week, is that active listening. Two ears, one mouth, ask questions, listen for the answers, respond appropriately, keep asking, keep listening, keep asking, keep listening, and do that over and over again until you have that one piece of information. If you have a 30-minute phone call scheduled with somebody, do not rush through this part because, oh, I've got to do a demo and I've got to tell them about this and I have to do these other things. No, if it takes you 20, 25 minutes of question asking in a conversation, not an interrogation, but in a conversation to get the piece of information you need, that is a perfect use of time. Because if you rush through the other parts or rush through that part and then move on, you won't have what you need. And then you're just an order taker or a manipulator. You're either one end of the spectrum or not, if you don't know why they want or need what it is that you're selling. The empathy part comes into the fact that when you ask somebody questions and when you listen to the answers and respond appropriately and give someone a chance to talk about themselves, it will literally make people feel like you care about them. It is amazing. And what I'm going to say, and this is an example we can all relate to, is that I feel like now more than ever, having conversations with other people can be very challenging, where people are distracted, they're on their phone. Maybe you're trying to explain something to them and they're literally looking at their phone instead of listening to you. And how do most people react? I know how I react, which is I'll just wait. You let me know when you're done and then I'll keep talking, because it literally feels like you don't care, right? And it happens in social situations, friends, whatever. And the thing that makes people feel like you care, and I can remember some examples. I remember one of the first times this happened that I was aware of when I was in sales and I was listening to it, is that there was this woman that worked at the company I was at, and she was in an administrative role, and she would ask questions and we would just talk, right, in between calls or whatever. And she would just ask questions and then listen and then ask more questions. She never asked a question where you can tell when somebody's doing it, where they're just waiting for you to stop talking so that they can jump in and either one up or talk about their own story or a time when they did a thing or some other thing and just change the topic in general. She was amazing at asking questions. She was so curious and just wanted to know everything and anything. And the feeling that I had in talking to her still sticks to me to this day. We're talking 2002. This is quite some time ago. Can still remember the picture. I remember where I was sitting. I remember where she was sitting. I remember the conversation. I remember how I felt, because it was one of those times that we have through our lives where you're talking to somebody and they really care. That's what you want for your customers. That's what you need to give them. And here's what's so amazing. If you do this empathy step and you ask questions and you listen, take notes and tell them that, you know, show them that you're listening, you know, by repeating the things that you say, they say, which I'm not always a huge fan of that in every situation, just ensuring that they know that you're listening and that you actually care. What will be so amazing is that that doesn't happen a lot in people's lives these days. Everyone is busy. It feels like, not blaming technology, but technology has made it so most people just don't listen. And I think it's something that's always been there. I think people struggle with that because most humans, and I'm not going to get into it because otherwise this would be a 2-hour session today. But most people see themselves as the center of their own universe. They see themselves as the hero of their own story. So all of us by default, if we're not careful, think everything revolves around us and we're the most important thing on the planet. Now, of course we are. Our survival and our ability to thrive as an individual is up to us. Now, as we've evolved over time, we know that there's a sense of community. We care about other people. We want to put other people's needs as a high priority. But that primal part of our brain, that amygdala that worries about our own survival at every moment of every day, still thinks it's all about us. So remember that, is that your customer also feels that way. They also feel like everything is about them. And so they feel like they're at the center of the universe and they're the hero of their own story. When you show them you care by asking questions, listening, taking notes, and 2 ears and one mouth, most likely you're giving them a gift that they're not getting in most other places in their life. And it will stand out even more than you think it does. Right? Because most likely the people at home, their family, their job aren't going to listen like you could be listening, almost like a therapist mode where you're just listening. It's all about them. It's not about you, right? It's all about them. When you do that, you build that empathy and you find out how you can help them. I'm telling you, it's a game changer, because everything else after this phase becomes easier. I'm telling you, a lot of people come to me and say, what is the slick closing lines I can use? Like, how do I ask for the sale? How do I overcome this objection? Like, what do I have to do for this? And how do I like do this part or that part? And what can I say? And how can I like get people to buy? And how do I get people to call me back? What happens when I'm doing my follow-up calls and people don't call me back? all of that literally becomes easier or non-existent. It no longer becomes an issue when you do this one phase to the fullest extent. And again, I know that sounds weird. It sounds like a lot of pressure. It sounds totally different. Most people in sales or looking at the sales process think, no, it's like, it's about the features and the benefits. And I got to do this and I got to do that. And I got to, you know, if I could show you a way to save money by Friday, is this something you would be interested in? Like those kind of lines. And those might have a place. Those might be things that you want to use. Those might be valuable, but fundamentally none of them are going to work and not going to be effective, especially long-term, if you don't nail this one part. So that's why I wanted to focus on this, spend the whole episode so much on this, could keep going, but I think you get it. If you want more information on this, or if you're running a team and you want some training on this, or you think this might be an issue with your team and you want some help, or you're an individual, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Also, one of the big things that I wanted to announce is I am starting soon my Authentic Persuasion private group coaching program. What is that going to look like? Low monthly fee, bunch of people in it. We're going to do weekly phone calls. It's going to be open Q&A. It's going to be some training, but mostly just answering questions, talking about things that salespeople are dealing with, overcoming challenges, helping you get better and better. So make sure email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. If you're interested in that, I've started the wait list for when that launches. I've got some bonuses, giving out some eBooks for people who sign up now. So if you're watching this now, the replay, email me, happy to add you to the list. Take this info, put this into, again, not just your selling process, your sales career, in your conversations, in life. Everything in life is sales. If you want people to listen to you when you want to persuade them, this step applies across the board, almost in every category. So hopefully use this. Hopefully you can go out there, be an effective, authentic persuader. As always, I didn't mention in the beginning, but if you don't have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, email me, because I want to support this community. Email me and I will send you a free signed copy. Just cover the shipping. I'll send that to you. Just want to get that out in the world. I want to help as many people transform into authentic persuaders. Again, to get that out there for everybody. So I appreciate you being here. I know that people are tuning in. If you have any questions, any comments, anything like that, and you're watching even the replay, you put it in there, you'll get me notifications. And then we'll open up some Q&A probably next week and be able to address some things. But I appreciate everyone being here. Thanks again. Next week, we're going to talk about the third step in the authentic persuasion pathway, which, like I said earlier, is trust. That's where you get to talk about yourself and start building the trust, talking about your sales stuff, how it applies to them. We will tackle that. Hope you have a great week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And I will catch you on the next session next Friday, same time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. GMT. I will see you then. That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.